Great job singing. Great job piano playing. Wonderful. Remember, Tuesday night is Ladies Fellowship. Tuesday night is Ladies Fellowship. So, Tuesday, 6 o'clock. All right, Genesis chapter something. Genesis 28. Yeah, Genesis 28. Don't have a lot of notes for this one. Got a simple point to make here. It's always neat to see when you see the hand of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in the scriptures, where several hundred years before something happens, it's written down or typified or foreshadowed, particularly and specifically in Christ, when there's some element of Jesus Christ, some characteristic or some particular description of Jesus Christ. And so here you are, probably 1800 years before Jesus Christ is born, and you've got this type of Christ. And the chapter is about what you would probably know it as Jacob's ladder. It's the dream Jacob has. But in this chapter, honestly, there are so many types of Christ here, and I didn't really know what to do with all of them in one sermon, so it may turn into two sermons, and tonight we'll just focus on Jacob's ladder. So, Genesis chapter 28, let's pray, and then we will read, and we'll try to get something out of these verses. Father, I thank you for your words. I thank you for this time together. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for righteousness that's been credited to my account and to others' accounts here. And Father, I pray we'd get out of these verses what we need to get out of them and see Jesus Christ where we need to see Jesus Christ in them. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'll make one announcement. I just reminded what's going on out there. Just reminding me. So just real quick, if y'all see a bike over here, all right, the lady's name is Tabitha, and she's harmless. We talked for about an hour on Wednesday. Got a very interesting story, and I'm not going to take up all your time with all of it, but that's, if you see her, that's who that is. If you see someone around the building, that's who that is. Her name is Tabitha. She took a bike from all the way from Washington down here, and anyhow, there you go. I don't have time to tell the whole story. Like I said, I talked to her for like an hour the other day. So she got an interesting story. Sounds like she's saved. And but just so you know, if you see a bike over there, that's who that is. So, all right, Genesis chapter 28. Verse 1. We'll get to it here. Isaac called Jacob and blessed him, charged him, and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. And give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he sent to Padan Aram, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mother. All right, so Jacob does what mom and dad ask him to do about going to find a wife. And we've told this story about Esau. He doesn't. He's very, very angry and bitter about what's gone on in the family, and he is not in a and an attitude to take any advice from mom and dad here. So verse 6, when Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, "Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan," and that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had Maleth, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. And you find out later, Esau goes exactly where mom and dad told him don't go, and we've covered that story a couple times in the last month. Then you get to Jacob, back to Jacob, verse 10. Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I'm the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Just a quick question for our Sunday school class here. When he says seed, who is he referring to? Jesus Christ. That's in Galatians chapter 4. It's Jesus Christ. The seed is going to be the one that blesses all nations, and the seed is Christ. Verse 15, "And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." So that's the dream. "And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." That's an interesting comment. That's something you could probably say something about. "And he was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob arose up early in the morning, took the stone that he had put for pillows." Notice the stone. Stone he had put for pillows, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me, and will keep me in this way, that I go, and will give me bread to eat, and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." So there, that's the story. The dream, Jacob's ladder, happens in a dream with Jacob. And there's just several things going on to confirm the promise going through Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, now Jacob, that the seed would be found in Jacob. And now you've got this the stone becoming the pillar in this house of God. All these things are going on in this chapter. But the one thing I'm going to focus on this evening, and real quickly, probably, is the ladder, Jacob's ladder. Because when he dreams this dream, he sees this ladder, and it is a connection between heaven and earth. It's something God sets up, and it's communication, it's mediation, it's why Jacob says, this must be the house of God. I must be in the place where God's heaven touches man's earth. This must be the place. And so that's what you read about him saying. So there's three things that happen in this chapter that are associated with the ladder. Three things. The first thing is that this is the place where Jacob receives the promise from God. Remember last chapter where Rebekah had made all this, you know, tried to make things work, and Jacob tried to make things work, and they tricked Isaac and all the, you know, tricked him with the blessing and all that kind of stuff. Well, all that has happened now. Jacob's sort of probably glad to get away from the family and fears for his life with Esau. And so, but God hasn't really said anything to Jacob until this point. Now the Lord's spoken to Jacob. And so the Lord has reiterated the promise. Yes, you will be the one that carries the seed, the promised Messiah. You'll be the one that the seed comes through. And so Jacob receives a promise from God in this whole scenario. So the latter is where Jacob receives a promise from God. And try to keep these things in mind, because I'm going to show you something in the New Testament to finish this thing off. So you've got the promise of God here in this chapter goes to Jacob. He will carry the seed, the land will be given to his children, and that seed that he carries will be a blessing to all nations, and that's the promise. Second thing is, Jacob recognizes here, he recognizes the presence of God. So you got the promise of God and the presence of God. Jacob said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." That's probably something we could discuss. We won't talk about it a whole lot now, but sometimes the subtle work or the, I don't know, I think about how often do you recognize the work of God, or what is the work of God sometimes, and it's not fully recognized, and then you look back on something, you say, well, that was the Lord working in that thing. I didn't even know that. And so the works of God are not necessarily, not always big, flashy things that just, you know, take over your life. They're just, Jacob's in this place, and he recognizes the presence of God. That's significant. There's the promise, there's the presence of God, and then this is something we'll probably talk about in a couple weeks. But interestingly enough, Jacob tries to negotiate the peace of God. That sounds like, at the end of this chapter, it sounds like sort of a deal. You know, if you'll take care of me, God, then I'll make you my God. If you'll give me this, 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 and this, then I will pay my respects to you. You know, if you'll give me the lottery money, then I'll give you some of the, it's kind of the deal, you know. If you'll bless me, then I'll give something back to you. And that's typical Jacob. And he's just sort of he's trying to find the opportunity. He's trying to sort of work his way into prosperity and blessing, things like that. But he doesn't really need to. The Lord's already promised him. He's already told him, you carry the seed, and I'm with you, and those kinds of things. So three things are present in this place with this ladder and this dream that Jacob has. Number one is the promise. Number two, the presence of God. And number three, the peace of God. And so all of that's here in this chapter. I'll say something else really quickly about the presence of God. That is one of the most important things there is, really. I remember in Exodus, when Moses comes down off the mountain and the people are all partying and all that kind of thing, and they got two golden calves, and Aaron's like, well, I just threw the gold in the fire, and these calves just showed up. I don't know what happened. I mean, it's just a ridiculous answer. And so, but Moses comes down, and He sees all that stuff and he breaks the tables of stone and he's just frustrated. He's like, what's happened? I mean, in a couple of weeks, this whole congregation's gone from here to now debauchery. It's just ridiculous. And so the Lord tells Moses, I think it's in Exodus 34, he says, well, go on into the promised land, or go on further, and Moses says, but Lord, if you don't go with us, there's no point in us going forward. It's interesting, he makes that argument. It's like, if you're not present with us, there's no real point in us moving forward. And then maybe the Lord wanted Moses to recognize that, but Moses certainly recognized it, and that's the idea. I mean, you can have, there is in this world the appearance of success without God. There is certainly, or you could say not even the appearance, there is success without God. There is a level of lots of folks are successful without God. It's what Paul warns Timothy of, and he says, and some people equate financial gain with godliness. They look at that and they say that's godliness, and it's not. Those two things aren't equal. It's God's presence. If God's there, that's God's blessing on the thing. That's where he says, I'm at home here. I'm at home, for instance, like we've said so many times, I'm at home in the humble heart. I'm at home in the contrite spirit. That's where God makes his home. So the presence of God is a good subject. But all of these things are here in the promise, the presence, the peace of God. And look one more time at this verse, and then I'm going to take you to the New Testament. Verse 12 says, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Got that in your mind? All right. New Testament. Look in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And remember those things that were present with Jacob when we read this. John chapter 1. This is Jesus Christ talking to Nathanael. John chapter 1, verse 47 for context. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered, now watch this answer. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the ladder. No, upon the Son of Man. So Jesus Christ takes that whole episode with Jacob, almost word for word, and says, all these things that are present in that chapter back there in Genesis, he says, what Jacob saw, he couldn't identify who or how all this, he saw a ladder. He saw an instrument of connection from a high place to a low place, or a low place to a high place. And he saw this means of connection, and he saw this ladder, but that was the extent of it. And now Jesus Christ shows up and almost word for word says, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon, not the ladder, the Son of Man. He is, so he says, I'm the ladder. I'm the mediation. I'm the connection from heaven to earth, from earth to heaven. I am the connection. I am the one that communicates, that brings communication from God Almighty to the earth. And remember this, in Jesus Christ, remember those three things that were present in that chapter in Genesis 28, where Jacob, he gets a promise from God. He gets the presence of God. He says, surely God is in this place. And the peace of God. He tries to negotiate it, but it's already there. It's already given to him. Those three things, promise, presence, peace, all located in Christ. The promises, you know where the promises are? Not in your good behavior, they're in Christ. That's where the promises of God are located. You want to get the blessings of God? Well, you get in Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The blessings are in Christ. Secondly, the presence of God. Now here's Israel was looking for a Messiah for years. They're looking for a Messiah. Some Israelites are still looking for a Messiah. They're looking for a Messiah. And they thought, surely God is going to send somebody, and that's what they're looking for, somebody God's going to send. What they didn't realize was God isn't going to send a Messiah, God is going to be the Messiah. So Paul says it this way, it's a great mystery that God was manifest in the flesh. That's the mystery. So we're all looking for someone, or the Israelites are looking for someone God sends. Well, he sends John the Baptist. He sends Elijah. He sends some prophets. And then here's the Messiah. We're looking for someone God's going to send, a Messiah that's going to represent God. And lo and behold, it's not someone he sends. It's himself. He shows up. The one that had been talking to the nation for centuries. So that Jesus Christ is in him are the promises of God. In him is the presence of God and the peace of God. That's something Paul talks about a lot, the peace of God. And there's peace, there's unity in that body, in the body of Christ there. So just a simple parallel, but you've got Jacob saying something about this dream, and he sees this ladder, and that's all he sees. It's just a connection from heaven to earth, a connection of communication. He sees these angels ascending, descending, and they're moving back and forth freely from heaven to earth. And then Jesus Christ talks to Nathanael, and he says, by the way, you'll see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. This is, I am what Jacob saw. That was me. He just didn't know who he was looking at. So Jacob's ladder, that's a great type of Jesus Christ. Incredible. You got the promises, you got the presence, you got the peace of God, all located in Jesus Christ. And seriously, there's in that chapter in Genesis 28, there's a lot of good types of Jesus Christ. This happens to be a very good one that is also mentioned in the New Testament by Jesus Christ himself. So I hope that's helpful to you. Learn a little something. Maybe you didn't see that in your Bible, but now you do. And I hope it's helpful to you. But let's pray for the food. Let's pray, and we will be dismissed. Father, I thank you so much for your words. I thank you for this time together. And thank you for the food you provided for us. Thank you for each soul that's here this evening. I pray that you would help us through this week, guide us, direct us, guide us as a church, Lord, how to be a good testimony in the community, other ways. I don't know. What else? What can we do? I just pray you'd guide us, that we could magnify Jesus Christ in our lives. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.